Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. You're listening to another episode of the Basketball Truth, presented by the Red Light Sports Network with your host, Kevin Cunningham. It is 10 o'clock Central Time tonight, and it is, let's see, what day is it? It's Thursday. That's right. It's been Thursday all day. Playoffs, NBA playoffs, that's the name of the game right now in the basketball world. You know, the last few things I've done regarding basketball, whether it was a podcast or, you know, blogging, had to do with March Madness in college basketball. As a Duke fan, I was obviously happy the way that went down with the Blue Devils beating Wisconsin, but that's done and over with, and we're on to the NBA. Starting Saturday, playoffs start up. For some reason, I don't know why, but for whatever reason, I thought there was maybe not necessarily an extra week, but I thought that the playoffs started at least a couple days after when they did. I didn't realize until probably a week ago that the playoffs actually started, you know, this same weekend that the regular season ended. I don't know if I was just being stupid, which it seems like I was, or what, but regardless, I didn't realize that the playoffs were as close to the end of the regular season as they were. But in any case, again, Saturday is the start of everything. And the first game on the slate starts with Toronto and Washington. I'll get into the East later. I plan on diving into the West first and then segueing over to the East. So with that, but before we get going, if you head over to the redlightsportsnetwork.com, you can check out all of the Basketball Truths podcasts archived over at the site. You can also check out, you know, if you were into college basketball at all, and you could follow blogs that I did throughout the NCAA tournament. Not as much as I wanted to, unfortunately, but again, over at the redlightsportsnetwork.com, that's where all of our archived podcasts are at, as well as blogs. Regarding basketball myself, I also am a Tennessee Titans fan. NFL draft coming up. Definitely plan on at least blogging and certainly talking over at Titan Talk about the Titans and what they should do. But this show is all about the NBA, and so we'll get to that. So, like I said, starting out west, Golden State Warriors hosting the New Orleans Pelicans. I've got to say that while the West is loaded, and you can make the case that there are seven, you know, really strong teams, Oklahoma City, if completely healthy, would be a serious contender if they were completely healthy. If they were completely healthy, they obviously would have made the playoffs with Durant, Ibaka, most notably missing significant portions of the season. But it's... You know, I was kind of wanting to see OKC just because Westbrook is probably the most exciting player on the planet to watch in the game of basketball, no matter what level. Just because of his motor alone, it makes him fun to watch. Guys that care a ton, no matter the sport, whether it's basketball, football, water polo, if you have that kind of motor and that kind of drive, and you play at 100%, 100% of the time, then it's just fun to watch. When you have the athletic ability that Westbrook has, among, you know, the skill set that he has to go along with it, he's just fun to watch. Whether you hate how he plays or you find it extremely riveting, Westbrook's a guy that makes basketball entertaining to watch. So I was kind of hoping to see OKC make it over the Pelicans, but at the same time, seeing Anthony Davis in the playoffs, I think is a good thing. I think that I think that a solid amount of the NBA general following, as far as the public goes, will want to see Golden State because Golden State's just fun to watch and people are on their bandwagon. And so they'll get to see Anthony Davis. Because I think that throughout the year, unless you have NBA League Pass, you don't get to see many Pelican games. Just off the top of my head, I can't remember one New Orleans game on ESPN, TNT, ABC, you name it, over the course of the regular season. I'm sure there was, you know, a couple, but to my mind, I just draw a blank. The only time I saw Anthony Davis was if I tuned in through League Pass on a computer, on the TV, whatever. But nationally broadcasted games for the Pelicans, I just don't remember it happening. So I think it's good for Davis to get the exposure. I think that he is, without a doubt, a top five player in the league. Some people say top three. Some people say top two. Some people think he's overtaken LeBron. Whatever you want to go by, the guy is going to be an all-star for the next 10, 15 years, as long as he stays healthy. He's got basically 20 and 10 potential with three blocks a game. He's insane defensively because of his length, because of his knack for blocking shots. And he's essentially like a Durant. He's not as quick. He's not as good a shooter. But he is a stretch 4 or 5, whatever you want to call it. But he obviously can finish around the basket. He's definitely a matchup problem for just about anyone in the league. Talking about Golden State, this 1-8 matchup. Golden State's got Andrew Bogut size-wise. That's probably the only guy on the roster that realistically size-wise can compete with Davis. But at the same time, Davis obviously is going to stretch Bogut out, and he's going to have to come out to the elbow, to the perimeter, guard pick and roll. That's where I think Golden State defensively will have an issue. I mean, that's where most teams have an issue against the Pelicans. Again, this isn't an extraordinary New Orleans team. But at the same time, I think that they can pose more of a problem than a lot of people would think. I think Golden State gets the job done in 5 games. I don't at all think that New Orleans, you know, is going to go into Golden State and pull a couple out, or, you know, I don't think they're winning a game at Golden State in the series. But I do think whether it's game 3 or game 4 that they will win one of them. I'll give them that. They typically play better teams hard. I think that they have guys that are just hard-nosed. I think that Osick inside at center doesn't really care who he's playing. Anthony Davis, certainly not afraid of anyone. You start talking about the guards, and you know, a lot of the series isn't going to come down to whether Drew Holiday is, you know, 100% or not. He's not 100%. Even if he was, you know, I would still without a question take the Warriors. But if Holiday's healthy and Davis can pose a problem, like I think he can, and force guys, you know, other than Bogut to defend him, such as Draymond Green, would be the most likely guy outside of Bogut to get that matchup. I think Davis can pose a problem. I think Drew Holiday is a good player. I think Tyreke Evans certainly has his good, and he certainly has his bad. If he's good for the series, maybe they can win a couple games. Eric Gordon, if he's on, you know, I think if everything goes well, the Pelicans can make this an interesting series. But I don't think everything goes well. I think that Golden State is, you know, assumed to be the best team in the league for a reason. Efficiency-wise, offensively, they're the best team in the league. They've got two of the top 5 scorers in the league, I would say. I think Klay Thompson is probably a top 5 scorer in the league. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but I think he's a top, I would say, I don't think he's far off from James Harden. I think Harden tries more now on defense. but I think Clay is, without a question, a better defender than Harden. As far as other two guards out there, Clay to me is right up there with anyone. Some people love Harden, but I don't. If you want to say Harden's better, that's fine. But I think Clay Thompson may be a top five just pure scorer in the league. But so you couple that with Curry, Golden State for a reason is the number one team offensively efficiency wise. There's a good reason for that. And they're the number one team defensively. So, they're the number one team. They're going to show it. But New Orleans, I don't think, is as average as people think. I think they potentially are a pretty strong team. But I think Golden State is good enough to dispose of them fairly quickly. So I would go with the Warriors in five. Moving on to the 4-5 matchup, Portland's the 4, Memphis is the 5. But Memphis has home court advantage, I believe. I'm 99% sure. It's because the Grizzlies have finished the regular season with a better record. Just to make sure, I'll check that out now. And, yeah, they did, by 4 games. So that's why they have the home court advantage. It's 55-27, which is pretty funny. I mean, realistically, I'll get to the San Antonio Spurs in a bit, but the Spurs finished 55-27, and they're the 6th seed out west. In the east, they'd be the 2. Just throwing that one out there. But in any case, this 4-5 matchup, like I said, Portland's the 4, Memphis is the 5. Memphis has home court advantage. For me, the NBA, I think home court means a lot, especially in the playoffs. The one thing I will say, though, is that home court advantage in the playoffs is overstated in the sense that it's a 7-game series. And the only way you truly benefit from having home court advantage is to get to that 7th game. So, yeah, if you're the Warriors and you're 39-2 at home this year, and you start the series off 2 games at your place every time, then you should start every series up 2-0, which is fine. That's obviously the goal, to be the number one seed, to have home court advantage. You're, supposed to win at home. I'm not questioning that at all. I think home court means a lot in general. But if you're talking about a 7-game series and the two teams have 3 games at home apiece over the first 6 games of the series, there is no home court advantage unless it gets to a game 7. That's kind of the only point I'm making there, is that it somewhat goes overstated that, well, Memphis has home court advantage, so they should win the series over Portland. Well, the only way that's true is if it goes to a game 7. Then, yes, they would have home court advantage in the final game. And so they would, without question, be favored if it got to a game 7. But over the course of a series, a 7-game series, I don't consider having home court advantage, quote-unquote, that amazing of a positive to have in your back pocket. If it gets to game 7, then obviously huge advantage. If you can't even get it to game 7 and say you lose game 6 on the road, then you're done if you're facing elimination. So I'm just not as can't think of a word, but I am hesitant to just say, yeah, Memphis should win the series, just as an example, because they have home court advantage. I'm really hesitant to do that unless I see the series going 7 games, which is difficult to do. But this series, just as an example, it could go 7. for me, I don't think either of these teams has a legitimate chance at beating Golden State in the next round anyway. But this show, only talking about the first round. And so Memphis, yeah, they play better D. Yeah, they have the better bigs in Gasol and Randolph. You know, I love LaMarcus Aldridge. But I would take Memphis as bigs, no question about it. Portland losing Wes Matthews hurts a lot. Aaron Aflalo, not exactly sure on his what he's doing health-wise. I want to say he's going to be okay. Heading into the series, but I'm not 100% sure. I'm checking that out. But regardless, losing Wes Matthews for the rest of the season with the injury that he went down with, obviously enormous for Portland. Let's see what Aaron Aflalo is all about here. Did some light drills Wednesday morning. So, yeah. Hopeful that the Blazers begin the first round Sunday in order to give him an extra day of rest and recovery. So he's supposed to be back for the series, you know, if not game one, then game two. As far as when the series starts, it actually is Sunday night. So, you know, Flawless healthy, that obviously helps them. It doesn't make them a legitimate contender, but it'll help them in the series. I think that Memphis, I'm just not as confident as I have been in them in the past. I think that offensively they could get it done in the past. I think this year it's not even close. Conley being nicked up certainly doesn't help. But Memphis as a whole, offensively, it's just, it's not pretty at all. And I know playoff basketball slows down. I know the defense amps up. There are fewer possessions. But I do want to take Portland in six. I really do. And maybe I'm blowing Memphis off too early, because I'm not, you know, 100% sold on Portland. But like I said, either of these teams, I think, don't stand much of a chance at Golden State. But at the same time, I guess I'll take Portland in six as of now. Moving on, Clippers and Spurs. Clippers have the three, Spurs the six. To get through this one, again, I mentioned the records earlier, and the Spurs finished 55-27. The Clippers were 56-26. They were one game better. That gives them the three. San Antonio the six. So again, the Clippers have home court advantage. To me, the series isn't going to allow them to express their home court advantage, so to say. No question that the Spurs could get things done before Game 6, but with Game 6 in San Antonio, I guess I'll make that the deciding game. I don't think I'm going out on an edge by saying that it's Golden State or San Antonio coming out of the West. I think that's pretty much what everyone's thinking, regardless of San Antonio's seed. They are playing like the second-best team in probably the NBA. I would still take San Antonio over Cleveland if they made the finals. I would take San Antonio over Atlanta. I don't think there is any other serious contender in the East. I think the only serious contenders out West are Golden State and San Antonio. So if San Antonio can get by Golden State, there's no question they can get by whoever comes out of the East. I don't care if Cleveland is rolling on all cylinders. It's still their first year together in the postseason, which almost never works out. Almost never. When it comes to teams just forming together and, you know, first time through the playoffs, they eventually get beat. Next year, if Love stays, if everyone pretty much stays intact, then I may make Cleveland, you know, the favorite to win it all. I still think Golden State and San Antonio are the teams to beat. But, you know, I am certainly reluctant to just say that the Cavs, you know, even though they've looked like the best team at times when clicking, obviously, I'm still hesitant to say that they're going to do it the first year of them being together. But so this this Clippers-Spurs series, again, San Antonio has a game six at home, and I think that's all they'll need, if that. Like I said, I think they can end things earlier. I think that realistically a San Antonio sweep would not shock me. It would surprise me. I would expect the Clippers to win a game or two. But, you know, you told me that the Spurs swept the Clippers, and I wouldn't. You know, I'd be like, yeah, that's interesting. But it's not getting me off my seat, you know, wondering, pretty crazy, considering a three going against a six. And the six seed potentially sweeping really wouldn't shock me. But for the sake of it, San Antonio has game six at home. I'll say they win in six. I have Golden State in five, Portland in six, San Antonio in six. The 2-7 out west, Houston and Dallas. Again, Houston's the favored team. They have home court advantage, quote-unquote. But, again, I'm like Memphis, I'm just reluctant to say, you know what, you have home court advantage. You're the favored team, so to say. I'm just not all that thrilled with Houston. Like I said before, I'm not big into James Harden. I think he's a really good offensive player. But I also think that he relies a lot on the free throw line, which I believe it was Kevin Durant, the year he won the MVP. He actually attempted more free throws per game than Harden did this past season. So, you know, I enjoy watching Durant play. I think Harden is interesting. But I don't think that he's, you know, to say that he should win MVP to me is, you know, I think he has a good case. I think he's had a hell of a year, no question about it. But I'm not 100% in love with this game. And compared to Steph Curry and what he's done in Golden State, I'm just not all that sold on Harden being the MVP. I'm really not. In regard to the series, you know, yeah, I think overall, Dallas has more talent. They haven't necessarily put it together over the course of the season. But at the same time, they still won 50 games. Houston won 56. Yeah, they had a little better season. Dallas in the last 10 games have gone 5-5. But with everyone, you know, supposedly healthy, I think Dallas, like I said, has more talent than Houston, top to bottom. You know, yeah, maybe Harden is the best player on the court. I think that Dwight, probably the best big on the court. But I think top to bottom, I would give Dallas's roster the advantage. I'm looking right now at this Chandler Parsons injury, and it's a right knee injury. Started hurting him on April 2nd. Possibly could miss game one. It's a big deal. Parsons isn't fantastic, but he's certainly a good player. I don't know. I really do want to take Dallas in this series. And the one factor that kind of makes me do it without too much, you know, thinking the other way is that Dallas has the head coaching advantage. I think that Houston is a team that just shouldn't be trusted. Not to say that Dallas should be trusted, but I certainly believe in Rick Carlisle, and I think that Dallas, from that perspective, if I believe what I say, that they have more talent top to bottom and they have the better coach, then I would favor Dallas over Houston. This is, well, seed-wise, only the second upset, but I think a lot of people like Memphis because they have quote-unquote home court advantage. But for me, I just think that the Dallas is the team to beat in this series, and I do see the 6 and 7 seeds meeting up in the next round. And calling into the show, I believe, is my co-host Ben Holtzeder. Ben, you there?
Yes, I've been here a couple minutes. I don't know why it just beeped now, but yeah, I've been here like 5 minutes.
Oh, that's weird. All righty. Well,
yeah.
In any case, we've got, 17 minutes left. I went through the Western Conference, and I'm just going to...
Yeah, I heard you talking about Dallas versus Houston. Yep.
Yeah. And so, I just wrapped up the West. But so I said Golden State in 5 over New Orleans. I said Portland in 6 over Memphis. I said the Spurs in 6 over the Clippers. And then I said, Dallas in 6 over Houston. As far as you're concerned, I mean, all 4 of the series out west, where do you think I'm crazy? And, you know, who do you have advancing to the second round?
It's actually quite different from you. I have almost all opposite. I do have all opposite besides Golden State. I have Houston. I have Memphis, and I have the Clippers. I think it's going to be those 3 in Golden State in the next round. I caught most of your talking about Dallas versus Houston, and you thinking Houston didn't have as good of a roster. I think Dallas's roster is good, but you had mentioned, Chandler Parsons isn't going to be 100% when he comes back. Howard has been back long enough for Houston that I think he's just going to be too dominant down on the block for Tyson Chandler to handle. James Harden is going to get his. Obviously, they lack a true point guard right now after Beverly went down. But, Prigioni's been pretty good in relief, getting 20 minutes last game, 20 minutes a night usually. Jason Terry starting, he's doing fine. And Ariza just been lights out at 3, and then to go along with Terrence Jones. I really like Houston's roster. I think they get by Dallas. Dallas just, with Parsons' injury, their age, I just don't think – I know they have the better coach, but I think McHale has done a hell of a job this year for Houston. And I just think the Rondo thing still isn't working for Dallas, and it's going to keep them from winning the series. So I have Houston in 5 or 6. 6 at the max. Golden State, I'd say 5. I think Davis and them can pull off 1 win, maybe 4. The Clippers Spurs, I think, is going to go 7. I think that'll be the closest series. But I do like the Clippers with that home court advantage to take. I mean, the Spurs really blew it. They could have had the second seed, but they're all the way down to the 6th. So I'll take the Clippers. And Portland, Memphis is one I went back and forth on. But, I mean, both of these teams are injured and beat up. But Portland just has too much, I think, without home field, without home court advantage and with already having lost Wesley Matthews for the year. And now Afalo's day-to-day, Batum's day-to-day, they're both hurt. I just don't think Lillard can carry them past the Grizzlies. With Gasol playing last night, he looks fine. He looked good last night, actually. And as long as Tony Allen's back and Conley's there, I think the Grizzlies are going to be too tough with that home court advantage. The grindhouse, as they call it, is just it's a hard place to go in and win. I think the last team that did it this year was the Cavs, and, I mean, look how good the Cavs are. So, yeah, those are my four teams.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, Portland-Memphis is definitely going to be a series to watch. Clippers-Spurs, when I was talking about that one, I said that if you told me the Spurs were to sweep the Clippers, that I wouldn't be shocked. I would be surprised because I expect, you know, like I said, the Spurs to win in 6. But I wouldn't be shocked. And yet it's funny because you're expecting it to go 7. So I guess it's not, you know, extremely far off my prediction. But in the end, I think that the Spurs are just a better team top to bottom, and I, without a doubt, trust them more than I do the Clippers. Yeah, it was just funny that I wouldn't be shocked if the Spurs
swept. Yeah, I just don't see the urgency like I did last year with San Antonio. I mean, it's fine to trust them. I understand that, but last year they wouldn't have lost that game to New Orleans, and there's no way they would have lost it, knowing what was on the line, going from 2 to possibly 6. So
yeah.
They were so committed last year to just getting to the finals, taking out the Heat after the dramatic loss in Game 6 of the year previous, and I just don't see that same fire in them. And Ginobili hasn't been good recently. Parker's been better, but he had an up-and-down year. I mean, Kawhi Leonard is their X factor, and I just don't know if that's going to be enough against the Clippers. I think the Clippers are peaking at the right time. Blake Griffin's back. DeAndre Jordan's playing really well. Chris Paul is in the MVP debate to some. I know you're not a fan of Chris Paul, but he's had his best year. Played 82 games for the first time with the Clippers. You know, health is on the Clippers side right now. They got a good bench with Redick and others who I'm blanking right now. I'd go through it, but I don't have it up. But I do like their bench. And I just think I just don't see the Spurs being urgent enough to sweep the Clippers, especially with the Clippers having that home court advantage. So, yeah, that's my take on that.
Yeah, I think it's got to be said, too, that San Antonio was, I forgot what it was, they won like 12 straight or I don't remember what it was.
11
at the end
straight.
Of the year, and then 11, and then they lost the final one. So they're 9-1 in the last 10, and the Clippers also 9-1 in the last 10. The Clippers heading into the playoffs are the hottest team, so to say, just based on winning streak. They've won 7 straight. So, you know, it's not as though the Clippers are playing poorly. The next highest win streak is actually held by Boston, which we'll silently get to. But so yeah, there is 35 minutes or so on the Western Conference, and now for a solid 10 minutes on the.
Well, the West is more exciting anyway. So
yeah, that goes without saying. But so moving to the East, Atlanta, Brooklyn. I kind of wanted to talk about what Paul Pierce said about Brooklyn last year. I don't know if you heard about that.
I did.
Yeah. I loved it. I love Paul Pierce. So that's probably as biased as I can get. I try and keep my allegiances off when it comes to sports, but I personally liked what Paul Pierce said, but we don't have too much time for that. In any case, Atlanta, you know, whatever people think of them, whether they think Cleveland is by far the better team or not, I think that Atlanta's easily the second best team in the East. Would you agree or disagree?
I'd agree. I definitely would agree. I mean, I could see, I mean, the way it stacks up, I think the Bulls would have been better served getting the four, because I just don't, I you can make an argument the Bulls are the second best team, maybe. I mean, it's close, but especially with Rose back, but they're going to run into the Cavs in the second round, and I don't think they're getting past that at all. So I think it's Hawks,
yeah,
Cavs in the finals. And I mean, Bulls, Bucks could probably get, I honestly think Bucks could push them to six games, but five or even a sweep is way more likely. Toronto and the Wizards, I think, is the only really interesting series in the first round. Everyone else should be four or five games.
Yeah. I don't really disagree with you. I mean, it's funny. We've got 10 minutes to talk about the East, and it's like, well, all right. So Atlanta, Brooklyn, I mean, I'll say Atlanta in five. Toronto, Washington, I guess that's one we'll get into. Chicago, Milwaukee, that's another one we could spend some time on. Cleveland, Boston, I expect Cleveland to sweep. I think that Boston, like I said, they've won six straight. I'm a Boston Celtics fan, for those who don't know. So this is not me picking on Boston by any stretch. But I think Cleveland is by far the better team. They've played more games together as a unit. This Boston team realistically has a newer head coach. They have a team that is realistically a bunch of solid to good players, not even necessarily a bunch of good players. They're not a bunch of good players. They have a bunch of solid players. I think Sullinger, when healthy, is good. I think Isaiah Thomas is good. Outside of that, it's just a bunch of guys that are solid, which I think is fine. I think that the draft picks they have coming up, they'll be able to turn it into something. I think that they'll be able to pull a free agent either this year or next year, when every team, you know, gets a jump in cap 2016 because it's Boston. I think that people will believe in Brad Stevens and what he's done with this team to get them to the seventh seed. I think that there's no way he's going to win Coach of the Year, but having him up there and at least having his name thrown out there to me is good enough as a Boston fan, because I think he absolutely deserves it. Trading away Rajon Rondo, trading away Jeff Green, and this team gets a lot better than they were. It just surprised the heck out of me. I remember throughout the year just constantly wanting them to lose, and then all of a sudden they clinched a playoff spot and they clinched the seventh spot. And that's like, what just happened? Because this team was terrible, and then they traded away their two best players, and now they're a playoff team. It was just ridiculous to me. But in any case, I think Cleveland truly gets by in a sweep. I think that it will help them a lot confidence-wise, especially Kyrie and Kevin Love, as well as guys like, you know, Mozgov and Emmitt Shumpert, guys like that who haven't been through the playoff motions, to go through a series, even if it is Boston. I think it will help Cleveland long-term in this postseason run. I don't think they're going to win it all, but I think it will help them eventually beat Atlanta, because I think that especially Kyrie and Love need that playoff experience just to go through the motions, whether they're playing a great team or not. I think that the playoff atmosphere is certainly different than the regular season. Obviously, guys like LeBron and the posse that he, you know, brings with him no matter what team he's on, has been through it before. But I think that the series against Boston will just help Cleveland get into the flow of things and how the playoffs work a lot. Chicago-Milwaukee, I do give Chicago the advantage as far as how many games. I don't want to take Chicago over Milwaukee in game six. Five, I guess, is possible. Milwaukee struggled a bit since Brandon Knight has been traded. He was probably their best scorer. Chris Middleton obviously shoots the ball extremely well from three. But as far as pure scoring, he was probably the best scorer that they had. Obviously, he didn't pass too much, which led them to believe that he wasn't the point guard of the future, which I don't disagree with. But I think that Milwaukee, for right now, they're not as good as Chicago. And as far as how many games, I guess I'll say Chicago in five, but I don't know. I'm kind of hesitant in that because I'm leery of Chicago. If there is a team to watch outside of Atlanta, Cleveland, it is Chicago out east, but I still have basically zero faith that they even get to the conference finals because, like you said, they match up with Cleveland. I don't know. I think that we're on the same board. Atlanta, Chicago, Cleveland for sure moving on. Ben, you still there?
Yeah, sorry. I didn't realize that was directed at me. I have them for sure moving on. And then, although you were talking about Boston, Cleveland, I think I could see Boston winning like game three. So I could see Boston taking a game, just like one of those random, really good, really well-coached games by Brad Stevens. LeBron maybe has an off night. They miss a bunch of threes or something. Kyrie and JR aren't hitting them. I could see Boston taking game three or four and just making the Cavs finish it out at home. But it's definitely not going to go longer than that, like you said. Atlanta, I think, is a sweep. Brooklyn, their fans don't even want them to be there. So Brooklyn is kind of a joke to me that they're in the playoffs. I think it's a sweep. And it's just too good. Too many role players, too well coached. I think the loss of Sapolosha is going to hurt them with depth later on, but first round, not so much. And then, like you said, with Chicago-Milwaukee. Chicago, I don't really trust them right now either, but we'll see how Rose does in his first playoffs, you know, in how many years. And we'll see how the Bucks do because, like you had mentioned, after that night trade, they were kind of – they actually went 2-8, I believe, and then they've kind of righted the ship since. So they've played a lot better once they kind of got Carter Williams in and kind of got that flow going again. So, I mean, they've been better of late. I think they could push the Bulls to six. I could see that happening. The real key is Toronto – Washington. I think that series goes seven. What are your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, I'd agree with you. As boring as this has been, the East, between the two of us, I think we're in complete agreement. But I guess that's what happens when we're almost in complete disagreement about the West. I think this goes seven. I think both teams have not lived up to what they potentially thought they could be. I think both teams, Bradley Beal being hurt didn't help Washington throughout the year. Toronto, I just expected more of them. Not necessarily seed-wise. I thought that, you know, they would be in that 3-4-ish range, which they got the four. They have home court, which is why I'll take them in seven because they have home court. I think if Washington had home court in game seven, then I would take Washington. I just think both these teams are eh right now, and Toronto has game seven at home, so I'm taking them. That's pretty much my logic there. What about you?
I think it depends on Beal. I think Beal's health, I mean, he's back, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought he was back. So, yeah, I think it depends on if he hits, I mean, when he is in rhythm, he is just, he's so good, but he gets injured all the time. So, I mean, John Wall really needs him to kind of be that second banana. And those two are going. I just don't think the Raptors will have an answer. I mean, you have Lowry, obviously, for the Raptors, and you have DeRozan as well. But I don't know. I'm not feeling the Raptors this year. Like you said, you feel like they've under